Nothing lasts forever. No one lives forever. The flower that fades and dies. Winter passes and spring comes. Embrace the cycle of life that is the greatest love. Go beyond fear. Go beyond fear. Beyond fear takes you into the place where love grows. When you refuse to follow the impulses of fear, anger, and revenge. Beyond means to feel yourself.
Welcome to the True Purpose Development Show with your host, Dr. Princess Odelia, the Queen of Inspiration.
This week on the True Purpose Development Show is part two with creator and custodian of the NPA process, non-personal awareness, Joel Leung. The secret to your prayers answered expediently. Listen, in case you didn't tune in to the promo show on July 7th on the TJRS Radio Network, I guess you don't have a clue as to how much of a treat you are in for tonight. I am your host, Dr. Princess Adelia, and you are listening to the True Purpose Development Show. I am very excited about our guest tonight because he's bringing to us a new level of awareness. Remember the secret and its presentation of the law of attraction? What you will to be will be based on your thoughts and actions to respond as if it is so, as it was thought and desired. Then there are the affirmations that boldly declares what is thought, activating the assignment of the universe to respond yes to what you declare as is in your life. With the law of attraction and affirmations, I know they're very powerful, very, 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 very powerful, and they're enforcers to activating your dreams fulfilled. But there is something missing and a higher level of awareness. What might that be? There is just an essential acceptance of now, whatever now is. The submission to the flow of the universe required for fulfillment, whatever the process is. And this is where so many people find it so difficult, because we don't want to be submissive to the process. And then there's unselfishness that's released, and a unity that is declared as a result of NPA. Listen, after this break with Hiroshima Longwalks, we'll be right back. Don't forget to stay tuned, as later on in the show, we'll hear The Moments to Be with Barbara Hoffmeister, The Moment of Inspiration by yours truly, and more. So stay tuned, call your neighbors and friends, and tell them that the True Purpose Development Show is on live with your host, Dr. Princess Adelia. We'll be right back after this.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the True Purpose Development Show. Here's Dr. Princess Odelia.
We've done really well. We've traveled to the darkest corners of human consciousness, and we've cleaned and cleared, we've unblocked, released, we've understood, and we've dug deeper, inquiring with persistence and commitment. We've addressed painful belief after painful belief. We've become emotionally intelligent, and we've cleared much of our personal history. We were digging a tunnel from where we were to where we longed to be. And in the beginning, all we had was our bare hands and raw determination. And those hands became spades, spades became diggers, became giant earth movers. We've done really well. In fact, in case you hadn't noticed, the tunnel is dug. Welcome to the new paradigm. Now, all this pioneering light working has facilitated a huge shift in consciousness. It may be hard to admit, but many of the traditional awakening approaches that served so well to facilitate that shift are no longer as appropriate. After all, once the tunnel is dug, why use the machine that dug it to drive through it? Collectively, we've been calling for transformational approaches that reflect the new energy and can carry us through the tunnel quickly and comfortably, so we can simply play in the light. Born of those prayers, MPA is like a shiny new sedan. And all you need to ask yourself is, am I now ready to let it be this easy?
Welcome back. You're listening to the True Purpose Development Show. And tonight we are joined with our phenomenal guest, Joel Young. Joel Young is a visionary leader in the field of human consciousness with over 16 years experience of healing and teaching internationally. Joel describes how in January 2006, he disappeared in a cave in India. And in January 2007, he received a revelation in answer to his prayer. He was given a simple process and a trifold message. The simplicity of the process belied its power, and the profundity of the message is expanding through consciousness and the global community. Joel is renowned for his dynamic, humorous, and clear delivery, and has a knack for communicating the essence of a topic in a simple, heartfelt, and easy to digest way. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to welcome to the True Purpose Development Show, Joel Young. How are you today?
Wow, I feel great after that intro. Thank you. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you, Cordelia. What a joy.
Oh, wow. I am so excited that you are here. You have done some tremendous work. And when I read in your bio that you disappeared in a cave in India, did you actually go into a cave?
Yeah, I actually went into a cave in India. I was
wow.
I was on a yatra, and a yatra is it means pilgrimage. It was a pilgrimage through some of the sacred sites of India. And this particular cave was in southern India in a mountain that's called Arunachala, and it's known in the Hindu tradition as the feet of Shiva, which is they say is the god or goddess of creation and destruction. And one of the reasons I was there is because there's a very famous saint in India called Sri Ramana Maharishi. And he's famous for a question, you know, all his gurus have a question. And his was, who are you? A great question to ask yourself. Who are you really? And I'd heard that he'd sat in this cave for, we're talking tens of years, like it was something which is like 20, 30, 40 years, and he'd been in this cave. And my question as I went in there was, you know, and because I love meditation, I've held retreats where we sit for 6 days and, you know, do a lot of meditation. And yet I was like, wow, how does anyone actually sit for that length of time? I don't really understand that. And the interesting thing is when you go into a cave that holds so much presence in it as that does with a question, then something pretty amazing is going to happen. And what happened for me was I literally sat, and then it was like, I don't know if you can hear my fingers snap here, but it was like, there we go, that was better. it disappeared. It was like just gone. And there wasn't any me there to know that I was gone. It was just goneness was. And then at some undefined time later, I discovered, I mean, it was like 2 hours or something, but for me it was timeless. It was just back again. And it wasn't like, because I've had experiences where in meditation where I am at one with the universe, I experience the boundlessness of everything, and certainly a sense of the timeless. There was no sense, there was no one to sense any time passing at all. The only way I can describe it is a gap, or a void, or a space. For me, this was a direct experience of, if you like, the divine, beyond the experiential realm. And it's, I know absolutely that when I came out of that cave, although I wasn't consciously aware of it at the time, I brought out with me NPA, which stands for non-personal awareness. In other words, not like there's somebody or something experiencing the oneness. It's beyond that. It's there's nobody, nothing, and it's the space that is the unexperienceable that is behind everything that is a thing that can be experienced. It's the magic place which from which all the stuff is born. It's the origin.
Wow.
And it was a year later that the prayer came along and it was spoken, and then the answer to the prayer came, and an NPA was born into recognizable form. And here we are today.
Wow. You know, I had the wonderful pleasure of meeting you at the Festival of Enlightenment in Colorado. And I had a couple of experiences with you that I don't even believe I shared the intensity of your presence. And I find it very, very profound. First, when I first met you, just standing next to you, your hand was kind of near me. And I mean, my entire body was, it felt like a heat energy. It was so something different. It was just really, really awesome. And the presence is just one of love. But what was so, the second encounter was sitting in your workshop and you doing the NPA, me repeating it as did everyone in the class, and I am telling you, the weight and the power, the energy just wakes up in your body. You can feel the spirit. That feeling right there is transforming. And everyone that I share it with, they are having the same experience. Now for you, what was your defining moment, would you say, that there was NPA and there it was defined and implemented in your life?
Well, firstly, I love how you describe, you know, the spirit, as you call it, and the weight and the presence. I often refer to that as, you know, that's like the stillness. It's tangible, and it can be very much like the times I felt literally pinned to the seat or wherever I'm standing, and that is a very palpable presence that that is available, and it's available to everyone, of course, and it's just what is when you become very consciously attuned to it. As far as the kind of the seminal moment of the, what I call the birth of NPA, it actually was in a coffee shop, would you believe it? let me tell the whole story. The whole story is where the prayer happened. I used to say it was my prayer, but I realized it was a prayer of consciousness that kind of was came through me. And the prayer was pretty much, because I've worked with some amazing people in those years, those 16 years of experience. I've worked with people who've worked with cellular healing and working with your thoughts. In particular, a lady called Brandon Bays, who wrote something called The Journey, which is immensely popular around the world. Someone called Byron Katie, who maybe some of your listeners have heard of, who did something called The Work. And I've been very lucky to work with these people and also a whole bunch of other people around the world. And yet I was in this coffee shop, and the prayer pretty much went like this. It went, okay, Grace, is there something specific that wishes to be born through me, a message or a teaching or a process, something like that? If there is, let me know. And I'm very clear that part of that prayer was, and if the answer is no, if that's how the answer came, you know, carry on teaching the journey, carry on doing whatever you're doing, then I would have been very happy because I was loving what I was doing. I just noticed that the prayer was there to be spoken, as distinct from kind of seeking and, you know, trying to figure out what was going on for me or what my path was. And I let that prayer go, and it was literally a week later I was back in the same coffee shop. I was journaling, as I do on my laptop. And I was in the same seat in the same coffee shop, and literally as I was journaling, the words that are the six simple lines of the process just popped out of me. They just popped onto the page, and there was a particular issue that I was looking at, and it was, again, the way that it works for me, I very much get a sense of communication with, you know, as you're calling it, spirit, and it was like, say these words in relation to the issue. So I just went through the little process, these six simple lines. And it was like reversing the poles on you know, you get two magnets that are stuck together because they've got opposite poles. And if you reverse the poles of one of the magnets, then you get a frictionless state. And the issue just dropped away. And it happened in about, you know, a minute tops, really. And this was extraordinary. And I really noticed it. And at the same time as that happened, I often tell the story. It was literally like this. This is the answer to your prayer. Seminars all over the world. My response was, "You have to be joking. This is too simple. You know, give me something I can get my teeth in. You know, wrap my mind around." But of course, its simplicity is its genius. And you know, I call myself the custodian of MPA. Sometimes referred to as creator, but really I recognize the creator is the creator. But really my job to take care of it, to share it, to teach it, and, you know, to make sure it's watered and fed and it finds and where it shows talents, it gets nurtured. You know, at some point it's going to become a teenager, then I'm just going to look out for that, you know.
You're just going to wait for things, you know, happening. Wow.
The way of it. And, you know, and now it's, you know, so that was 2007, January. I kept it very close to myself, kind of really, it was, again, because I know you talk about, you know, birth and pregnancy and procreation. And for me, it was very much like that. It was like that point was where it was birthed into the womb. I had to keep it very much in the womb of me. For almost 2 years, I shared it with a few people. I played with it a lot with myself to see what it could do. And then it wasn't until I didn't first officially teach it in a This Is MPA, shared for MPA sake way, until January 2009 or February 2009, at which point it just has rocketed. It's taken off. We're in 18 countries already, and I've been teaching flying all over the world. And hence, I was in, you know, I was in Colorado just a couple of weeks ago.
Wow. Now,
that's kind of how it's, yeah.
Well, you have a powerful story, and it resonated with me. I want you to share with our listeners how you lost weight and how your experience that was one of your major experiences with MPA impacted your life.
Okay. Well, that is a good story.
Yeah, it is.
It is a good story. So, let me sort of preface it with a little bit of background about what MPA is. It's six simple lines, and I'll give them to you now. They are, you know, this. You find what the issue is, and then you put that in the blank space. So I picked, in the losing weight thing, I picked buff body, because I thought it'd be interesting to have a buff body. So the process would go this buff body, this energy of buff body, this pure energy of buff body is not personal. This pure energy of buff body is not personal. This pure energy of buff body is not personal, and I am willing to experience it. Now, when people say these words in relation to whatever it is that's going on, sometimes they'll have, you know, a response. Something happens inside. It's a realization, emotional release. Sometimes it's nothing. It's like it's just, I often say the words, move on, get on with your life. So it can be used to let go of, I say, the yucky stuff, so stuff we've held in or held on to, and let in the yummy stuff, which is stuff that we tend to have held out. So we're saying, that's not me. So the buff body thing came out of the awareness that people would do one process and things would change, but every modality I've come across, there's examples where they do it once and it doesn't necessarily work just as a one-off. And I thought, well, chances are, as generally both a possibility thinker and a realist simultaneously, I thought it'd be interesting to see if that was going to happen with MPA. This is part of my experimental phase. How could I address it? And so I came up with the idea of doing a 30-day program. So this is my first ever attempt at a 30-day program using MPA. So here's the context of losing some weight. At the time, I was a big fella, let's put it that way. I don't know, because you guys don't use stone. I was 16 and a half stone, which I think is about, well, it's whatever, 14 stone, 14 pounds per stone. So I think we're talking about 260 pounds. I think that's about it. You might have to check the math on that. So I was a big fella, and it wasn't like I had an issue with that. I used to call it my cuddly body. But I was the kind of kid that was always picked last for the sports teams, and, you know, I was short until very late, hit puberty very late, and also I grew up very much taking as my interpretation of my mum's tendency towards feminism as an indication that being masculine was a bad thing. That was my interpretation. So I kind of suppressed all of that masculine activity stuff, and in the end, so that 16 and a half stone wasn't made out of muscle. It was pure chocolate and years of beer and that's what it was made of, you know.
Wow.
So I thought, well, it would be interesting and kind of a long shot really to change that, but I thought, wouldn't it be interesting to have, you know, a fit and healthy body? So here's what I did. I just said that those words, using buff body as my little what I call cookie cutter, which is the little thing you insert into the blank space. I did it once a day for 30 days. Now, there wasn't during that time any sense of emotional release or that kind of thing that happened. It was just like saying the words and moving on. But what happened was 10 days in, I experienced eating a candy bar, as you guys say, and at the time I had a passionate love affair with chocolate. And as I was eating it, I noticed that it completely lost its glamour. It just felt, you know, it was okay. You know, I still eat chocolate from time to time, but, you know, the magic had gone out of the chocolate, and I noticed that was really interesting. And on the same day, it was day 10 into the program, I was eating some salad, and at the time, again, I ate salad because, you know, I teach the staff you're supposed to eat it, right? How it went. And, you know, and it's kind of hard work. You have to chew through it and crunch it and stuff, and that purple stuff, oh, you know, it's a bit bitter. That was my previous experience. But on this day, day 10, I was eating the salad, and it was like, oh, my God, when did it get to be so tasty? It's kind of sweet. When did that happen? And even that purple stuff, my translation of it was like, wow, you know, it's kind of certain, kind of thing going on there. And so what happened, at day 10 already, my taste buds were completely translating the energy of that food in a whole different way, a way which was going to support what that intention was, which was to change the relationship with food and change the nature of my physicality. So that was day 10. Now, day 11, I often say with MPA that you can just watch yourself going about doing the things that you've resisted for years. I watched him, this person, Joel, walking into the garage and picking up some dumbbells that had been there for like 10 years, walking back in the house, putting them by the fireplace, and just going, oh, that was mysterious. Couldn't do anything with them on day 11, but day 12, I watched him pick them up and start doing what I have subsequently learned are called bicep curls, which is where you just lift the dumbbells up. And it was really fascinating because I noticed, it's not like I had never tried, you know, to do some of this exercise thing that I kept hearing about was good for you, you know. but I'd hit the, I don't know if any of your listeners have had this, but if they're not inclined to exercise at this point in their lives, and watch out because you're hearing. But before, when I tried that kind of thing, I'd get to what they call a burn. And it was like, ow, ugh, why would anyone want to do this? It sort of hurt. So that was kind of stopped me. But on this day, day 12, I was doing it, and it was like, whoa, what is that sensation? I think it's the burn. Feels good. So again, you know, without me having to sort of consciously will myself or sort of trawl through the trauma of what created it, literally just the energy was being translated in a whole different way. And really that was the point after which, and I completed the program to 30 days, but I basically started exercising. I started, rather than eating bags of chips, I would eat bags of salad. I'd be driving in my car with a bag of salad beside me. I just fell in love with salad completely. Hardly touched chocolate at all. My diet changed, my exercise just became like the most natural thing to do, almost overnight. And very quickly, you know, I lost 2.5 stone. That's about nearing 45, 50 pounds. Very swiftly, I started to do some dance classes and all sorts of things that I never would have done in the past. And it's interesting because even after the 30 days was done, it would totally reset my consciousness in relationship to it. So that's continued. That was, what, a couple of years ago now. And you know, I passed the Christmas test. You know, the Christmas test, right?
You need everything.
Goes, you know, back to front, upside down, inside out. But, you know, out of the other side of it, what happened was my being was going, great, that was fun. Now I'm looking forward to exercising again. And it just happened by itself. Now, one of the things I say about this, my relationship to food and exercise is completely different. Who I am now, in terms of just my natural sense of self, is someone who loves to exercise and really loves to eat healthily, not because you're supposed to, but because it's just wonderful. And that's a great thing. And naturally, as I go forward, you know, I often say, you know, I'm not quite Brad Pitt, but I'm working on it, and it seems like a possibility.
Wow.
As opposed to an absolute pipe dream, you know, it's one of those things.
Wow.
One of the important things for me in terms of how this relates back to how MPA itself works and how I describe MPA as the effortless way to, you know, total transformation and really stepping into a divinely led life is that I didn't have to participate in that shift in a way that meant I had to get involved personally in trawling through, you know, what was the trauma in the history of me that created me
Bye.
A certain way and not exercise, or that have been creating my reality, or how do I hold the emotional state of fitness to a point where it precipitates, you know. It wasn't like I had to put any personal effort in. Well, the level of personal effort was like, you know, 30 seconds to 2 minutes a day saying those simple words, and that was it, and then watch the miracles happen by themselves.
Because you brought that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, because that's the way that the MPA operates. It will work. You know, I often say, and this is really important, that if there's a longing, say, you know, one of the ways I describe it is from the soul perspective. The soul is all about the journey, right? It's all about the lessons going from this to that. So if there's something within your soul that wishes you to participate in for a lesson, then you'll be led very naturally to the minimum necessary level of participation.
Yes,
that will get you what you need, as distinct from the personality having an idea that it needs to do this, that, and the other, and getting lost in the participation in an attempt to change. And that's one of the great gifts of NPA, is when you do it and you practice it a lot, you just notice that, again, not even without having to sort of actively pray, the divine life starts to be lived through you, and you get the thrill, the joy, and it's not like you're disconnecting, you're really in that, and that's the joy, that's the thrill of doing a lot of NPA.
Wow. And you know what, I want all of the listeners to realize, and before I say that, we are tuning in, you're tuning in to the True Purpose Development Show, and we are here live with Joel Young, the custodian of NPA, Non-Personal Awareness. And yes, we're talking about how you can definitely bring change into your life quite naturally and expeditiously. But this is going to bring me right into my next question and statement. One thing that people have, we as a society, I call it the microwave society. Everything has to be quick, quick, quick. I want it now, I want it now, I want it now. And what I like about what NPA is inviting is the initiation of bringing the energy, allowing the energy that is to be a part of our lives and invite it. Because so many times, without consciously, we push things away from us. People, via their words, their actions, their energy is shunning those things that they themselves think, you know, or not think, but those they themselves desire. And so what I like about this, and I must tell everyone, Joel, I love, love, love NPA. Now that's my love affair now, okay? yours was chocolate, mine is NPA. Every time I say the NPA to whatever I wish to bring into my life, things that I have been affirming, I always have this presence, very heavy presence of and spiritual presence that is all over me. And it's real tingly, just like you say. When I came back from Colorado, I just want to have a moment to share my testimony of NPA. Well, I'll start in Colorado. Everyone knows that I definitely believe in affirmations, and I still do. Affirmations I say every day, and I affirm what is to be in my life. You know, I am XYZ. I am powerful. I am courageous. I am the owner of XYZ. Whatever it is, I affirm it. Well, I also believe in denouncing things that are negative and not tying myself to it. So when I came to your workshop, Joel, I went through this little thing in my head. I heard you say, yeah, I know those affirmations, they take forever to come to pass, don't they? And I'm thinking, how am I going to talk about my affirmations like that? And I started thinking about some things, and I'm like, okay, they do take time, but it's okay. So you said that, and so from there, I had this little kind of attitude. And then when I went to my room, I looked at your card, and there was something that I wanted to, you know, I wanted to go through my normal affirmation, and I was kind of beckoned to your card. So I went through the process, and for some reason, the part where you say, and I will experience it, when I saw that, merely saw it, in my mind, it translated as, I am saying that I am whatever it is that I, you know, I take it back. It was not something I was wanting, and it was something I wanted to pass through, and I wanted to denounce. So when I looked at the card, I didn't want to say the I will experience it. It's like I never saw I will experience it. Prior to that, I only saw that I would be affirming that I am that thing that I'm denouncing. So I had a problem with it. And it was, I was just naturally drawn, no, look at it again. And I looked at it again, and there it was, very clear, that I will experience it. And I had to say to myself, I'm always sharing with people, just be, don't push away what is. Don't stand in a room of furniture looking out the window all the time. People will put you in a straitjacket. They'll think you're crazy because you're never embracing where you are. And a part of moving on and transcending to your greatness is first realizing how to just be. And just be in the present moment means to just be in some situations that we may feel at the time that is not favorable, but it is necessary for us to pass through it in order for us to get to the other side. And when you say, I will experience it, it all came to me that day, Joel. I said, wow, I get it. It's the same thing as really just being. That was phenomenal. And
the one thing is the words are actually, I am willing to experience it. So there's even within the willing being a verb, there's movement in it. So it already invites that flow through and allows the movement. And I would say that in that moment, you're reinvoking the movement through where you've stuck and held on to it. Good joy.
Exactly. Wow.
Beautiful.
Wow. So I am willing, and that's, you know, even more revelation. Well, when I came home to share it with my children, Joel, that was so transformational. I invited them to this experience. I put in front of them all of the things that mommy had been affirming for our family. And those things that I was affirming, I convinced them to be concise so that I could fill in the blanks on the MPA. I had my children to repeat after me, as they repeated after me, and we shared the NPA, they both felt exactly the same thing, the power of it. I asked my daughter, I asked both of them, do you know why he says it's non-personal? And my daughter immediately knew, and she says, yeah, because you are not being selfish with it.
Years. 15 years. 23 years. 30 years.
Our customers have been with us an average of 15 years, nearly half for more than 20. We give them an experienced staff, the financial help they want and need, and hundreds of branch and ATM locations. Most branches open Saturday.
40 years. Going on 41.
Comerica. We listen, we understand, we make it work.
Hi, my name is Barbara Hofmeister from the To Be Network. And in today's Moments To Be, I want to talk about the three secrets to success. What are they? Number one, you must know what you want. Be crystal clear on the outcome that you desire. Number two, believe that you can achieve it. Believe in yourself that you can make it happen, and I assure you, you can, because you have the idea. So you are the person to make it happen. And number three, take massive, focused action towards that outcome that you desire. And in our next Moment To Be, I will break this down into small achievable steps. It was lovely talking to you. This is Barbara Hofmeister, and you can find me at www.barbarahofmeister.com. See you soon. Bye.
Well, I trust that you enjoyed the show tonight. Thanks for listening, everyone. Don't forget to download, listen, and share on your iPods and iTunes, as well as follow me here on BTR, Facebook, and Twitter, LinkedIn as well. Additionally, follow BG True Purpose on Twitter and the Global World Food True Purpose Movement on Facebook. I'm Dr. Princess Adelia, your talk show host, executive producer for the True Purpose Development Show, your True Purpose Life Coach here each week with a mission and purpose to help you step by step to fruition to realize your life's true purpose, a life of total fulfillment in mind, body, soul, and spirit, which is what you are. Have a great and fantastic week. I love you all.